Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord, our risen and ascended Savior and King, Jesus Christ himself. Amen. In the name of Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends, very few of us ever enjoy the luxury of coming to the end of even one of our most productive days and are able to say, it is finished. I'm through. I've accomplished everything I was sent out to do today. Anybody been able to say that lately? With this stay-at-home order, I kind of doubt it, but I hope some of you might have been able to. Instead, what we normally have on our honey-do lists and our other lists are things that we had hoped to get done someday. Maybe it was the garage you intended to clean out last fall. You now thought maybe you could do some spring cleaning. But now with that stay-at-home protocol, I'm sure for many of the things your list is even getting longer. Very seldom can we sit back and fold our arms and say, I'm finished. Everything I wanted to do today. But let's put that in perspective. Jesus could do that. Jesus could say, it is finished. And I have done everything that God wanted me to do. In the wilderness, he conquered sin. On the cross, he conquered hell. In the grave, he conquered death. And now in space, as he ascends to the Father, behind him is the persecution of men. Before him is the applause of angels. Behind him is a cross. Before him, there is a crown. Behind him is Calvary. Before him is heaven's glory. For you see, the ascension of Jesus is just a continuation of his resurrection. And one is lacking without the other. Actually, when you look at church history, the ascension was the first of the Christian festivals that was celebrated long before Easter was ever celebrated or even Christmas. Sadly, in our day, Ascension is almost a forgotten festival in the church. We do it on Sundays now in many places instead of on the Thursday, the 40th day after Easter. That doesn't make it any less. But what we find is that today we are actually in what is called the Sunday of the in-between. The 10 days of waiting until God pours out his Holy Spirit. And the ascension of Jesus is not something to take lightly. Granted, it's not the only ascension in the Bible. We know both Enoch of old and the prophet Elijah ascended directly to heaven as well. But Enoch and Elijah never died. That's what makes the ascension of Jesus unique. Jesus really did die on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. On the third day, he was risen from his Father so that we might see him as he is now. And today we celebrate that he's ascended to be with the God who rose him from the dead. So today is the Sunday after the ascension. We find ourselves in that Sunday of in-between. And what are we supposed to do in that time? We see the apostles when they went back to Jerusalem with great joy. Did you catch that in the text? Their Lord was leaving them and going into heaven, but they were celebrating with great joy, exceeding joy, when you see it in the Greek. And they went back and they were celebrating and worshiping God in the temple every day during those 10 days. We find out later in Acts other things that they did during those 10 days. They had chosen the replacement for Judas. And we see Matthias coming in as the 12th. We know very little about him. But yet he was now numbered with the 11. So when we think about the ascension this morning, I believe it's a good time to reponder, as the disciples were pondering all the things Jesus had said and taught with them, not only during the 2.5 to 3 years of his ministry, but especially the things he taught them about the kingdom of God during the 40 days after Easter. I'd like us to consider just two things this morning. The first would be why Jesus remained for 40 days on earth between his ascension, or his resurrection and his ascension. We'll delve into that 40 days issue. The second question is this: is it fact or is it fiction? So why did Jesus remain 40 days on the earth? The number of 40 seems to be rather special in Scripture. Actually, and I was surprised when I looked it up, the number 40 is mentioned, you want to take a guess? I can't hear you at home. I can't hear those who are here either this morning. But I'll give it to you. 157 times. Anybody's number even close? I know mine wasn't. But let's look at some of them. It rained 40 days and 40 nights in Noah's flood. The 12 spies went into Cana for 40 days. The 40 days of Moses on the mount receiving the law is mentioned that he went up on the mountain twice for 40 days. The first time he had come down and he had smashed the Ten Commandment tablets. And then he had to go back up for another 40 days. God had written the first two tablets. Moses got to write them the second time. Moses' life is divided into three sections of 40 years each. 40 years living in Egypt. 40 years when he had to run away out of Egypt and he finds himself in Midian tending sheep. And at the end of that second 40 years, he sees that burning bush that wasn't burning, and he goes up to investigate. And God calls him to be his prophet to go back to Egypt so that his people might be let go. The prophet Ezekiel, in a book that many people don't read very much, we find laid on his right side for 40 days to symbolize Judah's sins. The prophet Jonah powerfully warned ancient Nineveh, whom God had sent to them, for 40 days. In 40 days it would be destroyed because of their many sins if they did not repent. In the New Testament, we are reminded that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights as well. 40 years from the crucifixion of Jesus to the destruction of Jerusalem is one that isn't necessarily mentioned in the Bible, but we see it in history. And now he spends 40 more days on earth following his resurrection so that he could finish teaching his disciples. He had tried to teach them again and again what was going to happen. He had told them, I'm going to die in Jerusalem, I'm going to be buried, and on the third day be raised from the dead. And the apostles did the same thing you and I do every time we hear talk about death. They tried to ignore it. They pretended it wasn't there. When Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem, Peter said, oh no, don't go there. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. And he set his face, in the old King James, like flint. When you go to strike flint to start a fire, it has to be set very purposefully. And Jesus, too, raised his face steadfastly to head towards Jerusalem. He knew he needed to complete the journey God had sent him on, to go to that cross, to die for our sins. And so he went, and all the way he was teaching them this lesson. That when Jesus died on the cross, when he was buried in the tomb, we know his disciples were completely devastated, because they had forgotten what Jesus had said. They forgot, even though he had told them repeatedly. It wasn't until Easter Sunday morning when the tomb was empty. And yet we find there too, when the women came back and said, our Lord is risen. He's not in the tomb. He appeared to us on our way to come and tell you. And they did not believe them. It wasn't until they saw him. Mary, the women, Peter, John, his own brother James, all of the apostles and 500 at once, did it start to sink in. During those 40 days, Jesus appeared to them again and again, reemphasizing the things that he had taught them about what does it mean to be in the kingdom of God. Then a change came over them. We heard it there as he ascended into heaven. They became excited. They didn't even have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit yet, but they realized the truth of what Jesus had been teaching. Now don't place too much importance on this world. You're only going to live in it for a few years. But if you have all eternity to spend with me, I hope that's where your focus is. So those 40 days, those 40 years, that number 40 takes on a great significance. When we look at those times when it is shared in Scripture, it is the time when we see God's mercy, God's patience, and his strength playing out in the events that happened. Many times events that could not have happened in a near mortal sense. God was providing. Even when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, God had sent his angels to minister to him. Even our Lord needed that in his humanness, even though he was at the same time fully God, that he had set aside. And hopefully you caught that, what I've mentioned already in verse 50, in the gospel lesson, that when Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem, as I said, with great joy. Some of us haven't even learned that lesson yet, have we? How many of us even realized last Thursday was Ascension Day? A day that we should set aside even in our lives to worship God in a special way. Sadly, all that happens is that we're also caught up in the here and now. We hear the press reports every day about what the progress is for the COVID-19, as well as what the remedy might be. When is this stay at home going to go? And we finally heard from our own Governor Walz that he's going to allow churches to start coming together again if they so desire on May 27th. Those are decisions that Mount Calvary has to come to this decision with too. And the elders have to deal with that, which I think they've already kind of made a decision. Call your elder. It's a good time to talk with them. Talk to Pastor Moss about it, because they need your input on it as well. But Jesus spent 40 more days with them. A time that he might bless them, re-emphasizing that death is not the end. But as we as Christians should already know, it's only just the beginning. Second question I wanted to ask you was, is this fact or fiction? It all depends on a couple things. Depends on what do you think about the Bible. Do you think that it is the Word of God, or is it just a collection of man-made stories passed down through the ages? It comes down to a simple little test. Do you say that the Bible is the Word of God, or the Bible contains the Word of God? There's a big difference in those two statements. Because for some, it's not vogue to believe in the Bible, at least not its in entirety. And we are branded as narrow and naive if we say we do. You may be of the persuasion, well, maybe it's not all true, and you decide that there's some Bible passages and teachings that you can ignore or just disobey completely. A lot of people are doing exactly that. Whole denominations are doing it. And so it's an important question, isn't it? What do you think about the Bible? What do you think about Jesus? Do you really believe that Jesus was not only truly human, but that he was truly the only Son of God, fully God and fully human at the same time? It's one of the mysteries of our faith. But not everybody believes that, because human reason can't put our mind around it. So do you believe he was just a good man, a good teacher, a man who could give us a lot of good moral lessons to learn? Or was he more than that? There are people who believe you don't have to believe the Bible. You don't have to believe anything that's written about Jesus. You can just believe some of it. But then we have to put that to the test as well. Because as I understand Christianity, there is no middle ground. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, you are either for me or you are against me. You either believe that this is the infallible Word of God, or you don't believe it, it's the Word of God at all. You either believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, or you don't believe that he's the Son of God at all. Jesus makes it very clear in the Sermon on the Mount that there is no riding the fence. You have to come to terms with it. And so during these 10 days of the time in between, I want you to start pondering, what do you believe? If you believe that the Bible is the revealed Word of God, and you believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, then you believe that the resurrection, the ascension, are facts and they're not fiction. They are real things that happened in this world. They changed the lives of those 12 apostles, that they would even put their own lives at risk, knowing that 11 out of the 12 disciples died a martyr's death, because they realized Jesus had called them to be witnesses. And that word we now know as martyr, someone who is willing to give up their life for their faith, is actually from the Greek word to witness. They were witnesses of what they believed. In Acts chapter 7, we read of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. In verse 55 and 56, it tells us, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. In chapter 9, in the same book of Acts, we hear about Saul of Tarsus as he travels along the road to Damascus. And beginning in verse 3, it says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. 70 years later, the Apostle John is on the island of Patmos, exiled from the church and from his friends. And there, on a Sabbath morning, he saw the Lord Jesus. In verse 10 of chapter 1 of his account of the revelation of Jesus Christ, he writes these words. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And then in verse 17, he finally says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades, the resurrected, ascended Lord. Whether it's Luke writing the book of Acts, or whether it's John writing his epistle, or even sharing with us the revelation that he saw, the invitation of Jesus is not just an invitation to get rid of the problems of this earth. The Bible is right. Jesus really is the only begotten Son of God. He really did die on that cross. He really was buried in the tomb. He really did rise from the dead. He really did ascend to the right hand of God, and he really is making intercession for us. He really is preparing a place for us. And one day, he really will come back. All things to think about. Because that final question I want to leave with you today, for you to ponder these next 7 days of these days of the in-between, is where will you be? Where will you spend eternity? Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.